Welcome back, everyone. We're live, pal. Myself with Andrew Zarian. We have a special guest, but before we bring in the special guest, Andrew, do you have any, I don't know, what is it, FOMO for not being able to be at All Out this weekend with some of us?
You know, I sometimes there are moments that I'm like, you know, I kind of wish I was in Chicago this weekend, but there's so much wrestling on. I don't think I'm going to have a minute of downtime even covering it here, but I'm going to miss hanging out with everybody. But you know what? It wasn't that big of a priority for me. I was kind of out of it all summer. My hip issue, you know, was a problem. So I don't really have the FOMO because I'm still going to get a big AEW show a couple weeks after here in Queens. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm kind of content here. I'm okay.
Well, it's good. It's good. We will have FOMO because we will miss you. But it's good that you're content. I do have an extra ticket, too. So if anybody wants to upgrade and come sit, well, maybe it wouldn't be an upgrade, but come sit with the F4W crew, hit me up, gg@fightgamemedia.com. I'll give you a little bit of a deal. If somehow I ended up with an extra ticket, and it's kind of a mess, but trying to make it work. But anyways, I want to introduce my guest, our guest, Earl, a.k.a. Knowledge, from a podcast called Wrestle Things. They have a really cool YouTube channel, and they do really great work. And Earl, what's going on, man?
I'm really good today, really, really good. I'm really happy to be on with a man like Garrett and man like Andrew Zarian. I'm really happy to be on here, guys, so thanks for having me.
And I'm digging the Mobb Deep shirt. I'm loving it. It's an amazing shirt there. Great shirt.
Yeah, so, loads of these.
So before we talk about
repping Queens, look at that.
Yeah, there you go. Because we're going to talk about
Essex.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about Clash of the Castle. We're going to talk about All Out. But before that, talk a little bit about your podcast, because and one of the things I do want to talk about is you guys had Will Ospreay on the show, and I'm not saying This is the beginning of this recent war with Kenny Omega, like that stuff has kind of been on and off, but he really went after Kenny on your podcast, and I don't think it got picked up enough about really how that kind of kicked off some stuff.
It didn't get picked up. He was on our podcast, and it was the first time that he actually went at Kenny publicly, and the reason why he actually went at Kenny is because I was wearing a Kenny Omega t-shirt that day, and he took offense to it, and he really went for I don't want to say he went for me, because that would be a lie, but he really went at my t-shirt. He was really offended by it, but you know, he really went into his Kenny Omega rant, and you know, he had guys wondering in the studio whether or not he was being serious or not. I think, you know, you can look and see what's happened since to determine your answer, but you know, he it was a great episode. He was incredibly honest on and off camera, and he is such a nice guy. People have got this perception of him, but he's a great guy. He really is.
I think there was a C word or two that was spread by one Kenny Omega during this interview, if I remember. But no, it's awesome. You guys do really great production, and I know YouTube stuff is hard. Andrew and I, you know, with this show, you know, and producer John, like we're all involved in like putting stuff together. But check it out; it's a really good channel. Wrestle Things, and give it a sub there for Earl and his podcast partners. Okay, so let's talk about Clash of the Castle. Earl mentioned that he's in Essex. How far is that exactly from where the Clash of the Castle show is going to be?
Essex, it's on the other side of the United Kingdom. So we are on this. I live by not too far from the beach, which is right on the right side of England. All right, mm-hmm. And Wales is on the complete other side, so it's a long drive. I'm not going to be making it to Clash of the Castle, unfortunately. I'll be at the New Japan show next month. I'll be at that. But yeah, I won't be at Clash of the Castle. But there's a lot of anticipation for it over here. I know quite a few people that are going to Clash of the Castle. They're really up for it.
Yeah,
and staying over in the hotels and everything.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, because even though you're not super close, like the buzz, is there a legit buzz around your area for this show? Because WWE, you know, when's the last time they ran a big show in the UK and one with Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns as the main event? Like that's about the biggest match WWE can do right now.
You know what? I think before they did those Drew McIntyre promo videos, I think that the buzz over the event was just the fact that it was such a massive show in the UK. I mean, it's a, you know, the stadium, it's the first stadium they've run since 1992. So it was a big deal. And I had so many people telling me that they were just going for that reason. But now I really think they've upped their game in terms of promoting Drew McIntyre. I actually know people who actually want him to win. Like, yeah. They actually want him to win now. And before, if you would have told, I would have told you, I think that he'd get booed against Roman Reigns in this country. I mean, people really do like Roman Reigns. But I mean, like, after those videos, I've had so many people tell me they actually want Drew to win. I wouldn't be surprised to see him win that match at the show, big time, won't.
So let's actually talk about some ideas for what they could do. Now, Andrew, everything with WWE is kind of geared towards WrestleMania, right? Like even right now, whatever the booking that's going to happen, there's an eye on the prize, which is Los Angeles and whatever they're doing in Los Angeles. Do you have an idea or do you have a thought that Drew could possibly come out of this show with one or two of those titles?
I think they should. And the reason why I say that, not because I want to see the title off of Roman, because I think, you know, they have something special here. They have a guy that has held this title for an ungodly amount of time, and they're really big on the heritage of, you know, how long Bruno held the title, how long Cena held the title. And I think now you've created this with Roman finally, right? He's on that top tier that you have. However, you know, is it a detriment for your business for him to keep the title on himself? I think in this scenario, the opportunity to be in a stadium of 70,000 people in the UK with, you know, with Drew McIntyre headlining it, that's not going to happen again for a while. I think you need to take that opportunity and do something a little different and do something cool and send people home happy. I don't think anybody wants to leave that building unhappy, you know, and the ticket sales here is the interesting part to me, because there was so much concern that these prices were too expensive when they were originally released, where a lot of people said, you know, they're not gauging the market properly. These are very expensive tickets. You got to sell out a big stadium. Could they do it? And they did very easily. This is a full capacity show. I think they're at like 65,000, 66,000. I'm sure they'll announce like 180,000 people. I said that last week and somebody took me literally. I'm like, yeah, why not? I mean, no, it might as well just double the numbers. You have a really cool opportunity to hit the reset button for a third time with Drew. This is his third chance. Yeah. He got the big one with Brock, and obviously, you know, the world shut down, not his fault. They tried it again, and it
what just, if it was his fault? What if he's what if that title win what if it was, like added a few more months to COVID-19?
I mean, you know what? I think it was the guy that gave me the potato. That's the catalyst here. that potato story has followed me throughout life. I would say this is your third chance to make this guy into another Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take it and do it. I'm for doing it. I'm for pulling that trigger and making Drew the man until whatever, you know, for the time being or continuing it. You could shake it up. And you know what? They're all about the ratings right now. The numbers are going up. They've held steadily, especially in the dead of summer. A lot of changes, a lot of eyeballs. Might as well go ahead and do this.
Hey, Earl, so you had mentioned that people actually do want to see Drew win this, which is surprising to you. What if Roman goes over clean? And I guess my wonder is, if Drew is not over at the end of the show, if he doesn't have the championship, if he doesn't have his hand raised, do you think it would affect business if they decided to continue going back yearly or every 2 years? Like is WWE's business there anyway reliant on what happens on this show? Or do you think people would just be completely fine with one show a year or one show every 2 years in a stadium? And this result literally doesn't matter as far as business is concerned.
No, I don't think it matters at all, really. I think the WWE fan base is so, I mean, I think WWE fan base is so into WWE. I don't really think it matters what the result actually is. I think if he won, I think he'll get a giant pop, and I think it would be a great moment for them. I mean, before I would have said if he won, I don't know if it would have got the reception that they might expect, because Roman is really liked over here. And also, Drew's Scottish, it's in Wales. I don't know what the reception will be like if he won. I mean, now, like I said, I mean, our wrestling community, which is pretty sizable, I've seen so many people tell me that they want Drew to win, but I don't think it's going to have an effect on business if he doesn't win. I mean, like I said, I mean, WWE fans, and it's not even only them, it's wrestling fans in general. We are here for the long haul. Like, we are here. It doesn't matter how bad the show is. I mean, WWE have had some horrendous shows over the years, and it never affected them that much anyway. AEW have great shows most weeks, and people still complain about it anyway. So, I mean, I don't think that it matters whether or not he wins on. I mean, if they do the same thing again, if they do it at Wembley, or if they want to do it up in Scotland at the Ibrox or whatever, I still think that they'll do great business. I mean, it's a traveling show. People from all over the UK are going to go to this show. Like I said, I know people that have spent hundreds and hundreds of pounds on tickets and hotels. I know people that spent hundreds of pounds on tickets, and then a few weeks later, they were reduced afterwards just to try and fill the building up. So, I mean, I don't think it matters either way. I think I know people that actually don't even watch WWE anymore that are still watching on the weekend just because it's the first of its kind. Well, the first in many, many years. I'm actually going to watch it because I really don't watch a lot of WWE, but I will watch the show on the weekend just because I want to see the spectacle of it all.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity for them to really bring back fans. You know, this is kind of an opportunity, I think, for Triple H to... Andrew, this is kind of his first show outside of the Vince ecosystem, right? Because SummerSlam... I imagine most of that stuff was done with their group and with Vince leading the charge, and he probably just kind of ran that playbook. But this is unique to Triple H. Like, do you think he's got like this really big opportunity to put his stamp on things?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I do have to say, though, that I don't think this is the first full showing of what he's capable of doing, because there's booking that's been put in place. So I would most likely, I would think that, you know, Royal Rumble is a little bit more and Mania is a little bit more. But this is definitely a huge task to take. He's commandeering the ship, right? Commandeering. Mm-hmm. He's commandeering the ship. The decisions that they make today will kind of show you where they're headed, especially with pay-per-views and the concept. You know, we saw what they did on Monday. You know, that John Jones and Cormier segment that they had, you know, that was very unique for WWE. They don't do stuff like that. The brawl that they did in the parking lot, right, where you did not see a secondary camera recording them brawling. You know, they leaked that video, obviously. They did a very good job at this. It's just those little shifts in booking and writing philosophy go a long way. I think at this Cardiff show, you know, how they present a stadium show out of their market, this is going to be the big tell. You know, if it was Vince, I would say there's a very good chance Roman is winning over Drew. Now, you know, it's a very different thought process. You actually have a guy that's a wrestler and could kind of is used to feeling the audience and knowing how to handle big pressure matches like this. And by the way, Triple H has been in big, high level matches where the outcome should not have been the outcome that they did. Multiple times.
Okay,
can he correct the wrongs of you know, what he's learned over the years? I think it's possible.
Okay, so here's another question, and then I'll get Earl's thoughts on this. But with this match, which should be a really good wrestling match, you mentioned Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins, and I agree with you. I thought that's one of the best things that they've done in very quite cool. some time, though. I didn't like the parking lot, bro. I thought that was cheesy because they didn't punch each other. So it just looked
better
looked
than
fake.
It could have been.
So, and then there's Gunther and Sheamus, and that should be a great wrestling match. So I almost wonder if they're going to let these. And there are other good wrestling matches, but those are just the ones that sort of come to mind when I think of excellent wrestling matches.
Just one thing, Garrett.
Yeah.
This is interesting, right? You were talking about the importance of booking and what you could do. Do you know what Raw did last night?
No.
I'm going to give you 2.11 million.
Wow.
Which is really, considering they were going against the U.S. Open. Right. You were going Serena up against Williams. The U.S. Open, which Serena Williams is first tournament match where, you know, everybody was there. And They did a 0.59 for the demo.
Whoa.
That's pretty crazy because what was the draw for this show?
The go home.
I guess.
And the what if, maybe Sasha shows up. I think that was a lot of online buzz, but the online buzz would not do a 2.11. This is general interest in the product.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very much so.
Look, good for them, man. Like, this is a chance. This is a real chance to bring people back and to take advantage of it. Okay, so let me go back, and I love the little impromptu breaking news there. Because we do this show usually when the Raw number comes out, so the good job there. Okay, so going back, do you think Triple H is looking at this show as a possible way to be? Now, I don't think they have a chance to be the wrestling show of the weekend, because AEW All Out just has too many good wrestling matches that I expect to happen. But he may, I wonder if they may try and steal some of that thunder with those three matches that I talked about. Like, those are three, on paper, excellent, excellent wrestling matches. And also, for Gunther, a real opportunity for him to show his stuff as well against Sheamus, who he's going to dish out a beating and he's going to take a beating. Like, there's I just wonder in the back of his mind if he's like, I can actually compare to All Out here on a few of these matches.
Just the go home that was presented. Other than the great, Seth Rollins and Riddle stuff. I didn't really love the show last night. I was watching, obviously, and that's part of it too, right? Like, even though it's not a good show, I'm back in the habit of watching Raw and SmackDown. More Raw Live than SmackDown, because I'm home. I'm not really home on Friday nights as much as I used to. But I think it's a very interesting thing. You know, they didn't really do much for booking. It was a very simple Raw, and it still, got this mega number. And you're going into a very important show here. Like you said, can they do something that's going to maybe take the thunder away? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I think that's a very uphill battle for them, because AEW has a great track record with unbelievable matches, especially All Out. You know, that's their mega show, in my opinion. That's the one, right? Over Double or Nothing.
Well, especially last year, like, we were there. It was the biggest show they've ever done.
Yeah. So I think they're going to try. I don't know if they're going to be successful at it, but they're going to try.
Yeah, sneaky. They snuck in some really, really good matches that I think people are looking forward to. Okay, so Earl, I know you said that you're not really, really watching WWE a whole lot, and I don't think that, you are in the minority there as far as wrestling fans are concerned, or the hardcore wrestling fans, or the people like us who do podcasts and such, but the other matches, Seth and now the newly named Matt Riddle, not just Riddle anymore, and then this Gunther and Sheamus match, then there's the six women tag, which I expect to be really good as well. Do you see some high value stuff here that you think is going to connect with people who may not have been really keeping up with WWE of late?
I think that main event, I think that the Roman Reigns and Sheamus match, I mean, Sheamus, how dare I, the Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre match, I think that as a spectacle, and the way those two guys, I expect the way that they'll work that match, I think is something that will, I mean, I got quite a few wrestling friends who no longer watch WWE anymore. You know, they grew up, it wasn't for them, they thought it was silly, and they started watching AEW, or they started watching New Japan. Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle, I'm sure, will be a very, very good match. But, I mean, it's nothing that we don't see anywhere else. I think Roman and Drew, the fact that it'll be hard-hitting, two big guys, that's something, the main event as well, the heat that we'll have, I think that's something that might grab someone's eye. But, I mean, I take it from my group of friends who no longer watch WWE, there'll be matches on All Out that'll be better than Seth and Matt Riddle, and that's not knocking them, because I think that's going to be a really good match, but that's, yeah. I don't think that's something that they will see. They, there's great wrestling all over the place,
yes.
WWE, they've really, to get people like me back, they've really got to work hard and get those working shoes on, because I'm big into wrestling. I love wrestling. I love in-ring work. And I don't go to WWE for that. I haven't gone there for that since, you know, the early 2000s, to be honest with you.
So both of you, and Andrew, we'll go first. Give me what you would think would be the most beneficial finish to Clash at the Castle, for that audience, for the people watching at home, for this new, you know, Raw with this buzz of a rating. What do you think would be the most beneficial finish to that main event, Andrew?
You need to do something interesting at the end. You need to, I think Drew should win. I think that's the most beneficial. You've created, you know, you got a new title change. You got people that are going to be interested. You've solidified him as the guy that beat not only Roman Reigns, but he also beat Brock Lesnar. So, you know, we're talking about the king, right? The kingmaker, the kingslayer. That really solidifies him as the guy. I don't know. They got to do something more than just a clean finish, but is a clean finish enough? What do you think?
Well, I'll give my thoughts, but I want to also get Earl's thoughts, because he's a little bit more of like that casual, maybe even lapsed WWE fan who's going to have new eyeballs for this show. Earl, what do you want to see happen in this main event?
I think the best thing that they can do is put Drew over for the title. I think finishing the show with a massive title change and fireworks going off everywhere, I think that would be a fantastic finish. And, you know, and also give him a nice bump for Monday as well, and probably the week after as well. You know, Roman's at a stage now where he doesn't need the title. I mean, he's not working that much anyway. So they're probably best off just giving it to Drew and letting him come back every so often, have his big pay-per-view match every few months, and then go away again. I mean, if he's going to wrestle Rock next year, they don't need the belt for that. They can keep the belt on Drew and have him wrestle somebody else. So I think Drew winning the belt, I think, would be the best finish. I think in that building, that size, that many British fans, fireworks, I think it would be pretty historic, really. I really do.
All right. My idea, I think, much like both of you, I think having Drew's hand raised, that crowd just being so fired up for him winning this match, he's beating a guy who never loses, all of that means something. And if you really believe that Drew could be your top guy, that I think that is sort of the beginning to this next phase for Drew. I would figure out a way for them to have Drew win and there be some cliffhangery stuff there at the end where maybe it's not the cleanest of finishes, not saying that he's got to, you know, cheat to win, obviously not saying that, but there's some like, oh, was Roman's foot underneath the rope or something to create interest so that they could have another match, whether it's at Survivor Series, whether it's at Royal Rumble, to unify this title again. So maybe they even split the belts and you have, you know, sort of what we're seeing with AEW with the two belts, but they also have two brands. So you can have both, you know, you can just have Drew come to Raw and he's all of a sudden on Raw. But what I would like to see is him get his hand raised. I still want to see Roman save face, though, because I do think heading into WrestleMania, whatever they're doing with WrestleMania, I would love to see The Rock. But the plan B, I almost think, is better than the plan A, which is I want to see Cody beat Roman at WrestleMania and be anointed as that guy. Because I think that getting to that story, that is going to be the most beneficial to where they could go as a company, taking advantage of this war with AEW, is we took your guy who was part of starting up this company, and now he's our top guy. And that tells that AEW locker room, like, this is kind of interesting, right? Like, these guys mean business with our guys. So it would mean a whole bunch of different things. But ultimately, I think Cody can be that guy. And if Roman, like Earl said, Roman's not going to be wrestling as much, I think anointing Cody at WrestleMania as plan B is so important. And having Roman still be strong would be the best way to do it. So I want to see Drew get his. I want to see Roman still, you know, not beaten, but still hot. and then they unify at another big show, and then it's Cody at WrestleMania. So that's my hope. But before we let Earl go, I do want to ask him a little bit more about Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay had some of the greatest matches this year in the G1, including with Kazuchika Okada in the finals of the G1. As you know, you growing up and you sort of knowing who's big and stuff in your area, where does 2022 Will Ospreay fit with some of the biggest wrestling stars that you can remember?
Is this in relation to Ariel Helwani's list? Because I was hoping
the British Bulldog,
Wade Barrett and Paige. Do you know what? It's, you know, I love Will Ospreay. I think he's one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen. Like, you know, I've never seen a guy work as hard as Will Ospreay. It's crazy because I've seen Will Ospreay wrestle live maybe 30 times. Like, I've seen him wrestle Marty Scurll in a building with 150 people. And I can honestly say, if that match wasn't 5 stars, well, then I don't know a 5-star match. The guy works so hard every single night. And it's crazy because I see people online complaining that, oh, you know, he's got 3 5-star matches in a week. None of them are, that means none of them are 5 stars.
How much merch did he sell?
How much merch did he sell? Yeah. And it's like, I saw Great Sasuke have 2 5-star matches in one night. Does that mean that either of those don't matter as well? You know, I just think that we're at a stage with wrestling fans where people complain that wrestlers work hard. It's ridiculous to me. But, you know, Will Ospreay, is Will Ospreay, okay, wrestling fans know Will Ospreay. You know, people on the street don't know who Will Ospreay is. He doesn't work for WWE. He works for New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is niche. I mean, if you ask someone on the street who Drew McIntyre is, there's a better chance that they'd know who that person is. But, you know, or even Paige or even Wade Barrett for, you know, God, Wade Barrett was the host of that World of Sports, IEB World of Sports show, wouldn't he? But I mean, like, Will Ospreay isn't the biggest, isn't the bigger name, but you know, the guy is one of the greatest wrestlers that this country ever produced, and he might just be the best. I mean, you can argue him or Dynamite or Billy Robinson, because, you know, but, you know, to me, Will is the best that this country's ever produced. And, you know, he'll get there one day. He'll, you know, if he doesn't start working for AEW or WWE in the future, I mean, he's told me he's got no interest in doing it because he's happy to do what he's doing. But, you know, he will one day, and he will be one of the biggest stars in wrestling at that point anyway. But to answer your question, and, you know, sorry for my tangent, but he is not one of the more famous British wrestlers, even currently right now, if you ask the general public. But as far as us British wrestling fans, we love Will Ospreay. Like, you know, I was at the show at the York Hall last week when he wrestled Mike Bailey, and the guy, you know, he's a superstar. He comes out and we adore that guy. We really do. Yeah. And, you know, and the following night when he lost to RKJ, you know, the guy is a brilliant wrestler. He comes out and he's got time for everybody. He really does. It's like he really is a one of a kind. He's a generational talent. He really is. And people can say what they want about him. You know, he's this and he's that and he's an awful guy. I can honestly say he's a gentleman to me. And when he was on the podcast, what a guy.
So he's going to be able to show his stuff this Wednesday on AEW, on Dynamite, in the Trios tournament, the semifinals here. Now, looking forward ahead, now we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. I don't know if this is going to be an immediate feud. I don't know if they've got Hangman stuff to deal with that they really teased before Kenny left. So this may not even be soon. This may be next year. This may be something to do with New Japan Pro Wrestling. We don't know yet. But Ospreay and Omega, there is a feeling of, I don't feel like they want to fight each other. I feel like they want to prove who is better between the two. And I think there is a lot of value in that with today's wrestling fan. How do you sense the feud going? Is there a real frustration there, or is this just a bit of one-upsmanship because they're both so great and Ospreay kind of snuck in there once Kenny left?
I I don't know if there's genuine frustration. At one time, I thought there might have been something, but then I've seen Will do other interviews, and he has said completely different stories as to where the beef actually started. So I think he probably forgets what he told other people. But I mean, I do know that Will takes his place in history in terms of five-star ratings. I know he takes that pretty seriously. And I know Kenny does as well. I think both of them have got something to prove. You know, there's nothing wrong with a bit of competitive feuding and stuff, you know. I think Wednesday coming up, you know, last week, best trios match in AEW history. I think this one, those sequences of those two will pull off. I am so excited to see that. I cannot wait. And, you know, we have to stay up till 1 a.m. to watch Dynamite, and we have to, it finishes at 3 a.m. and I do it every single week. You guys have got an early start for Clash at the Castle. What time does that start for you guys? What, midday? Starts at 12
1 o'clock.
Right, for you guys.
I think it's a 1 p.m. for me. For him, it's
even
10
earlier.
10 o'clock for you. 10 a.m. for
yeah.
me.
Oh, man. That is great.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get so loaded while watching this show.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Earl, I really appreciate you doing this. Follow my guy here at Graps Knowledge on Twitter. Follow the Russell King, the Russell Things YouTube channel and check out their podcast. And we need to figure out how to make that clip with Will talking trash about Kenny go a little bit more viral than it has.
Yeah, we retweeted that thing so much. You know, I'm big into old school wrestling. You know, I'm big into old school wrestling. If you watch the show, you'll hear me tell my, you know, I'm a mark for the Wrestling Observer. I subscribed since I was 17 years old, so I'm 20 years deep into the Observer. And, you know, I'm one of the guys that I learn everything from Dave Meltzer, and I now try and profit off of his knowledge. You know, I'm kind of like the black Conrad Thompson. I tell stories about Cowboy Bill Watts every week. You know, I'm the oldest guy on the podcast. Everyone is super young. So when they talk about Randy Orton being one of the top five dead or alive, I put my foot down and go, no. Now, what are Amazing. You talking about? Yeah. But please, Rats Knowledge, Wrestling's podcast, check us out. Wrestling's House as well. We got a version of Gogglebox. I know you guys got Gogglebox over in the US. We got a wrestling version of that. It's really fun. Check me out. Or check us out.
All right, man. Excuse me.
Thanks, Garrett.
All
Thanks,
right.
Andrew
awesome.
Z.
Thank you,
Big
man.
Up to you,
Thank
man.
You so much.
See you.
All right. Take care.
Love it. Awesome.
MOBBDEEP. I love that shirt. That kind of got me pumped just dying. Once I saw that shirt, I was like, oh, now I know what there's a vibe here already. All right. So great stuff with Clash of the Castle. Very important show. And now for the second half of the show, we got to talk All Out because that is the other giant show. No, I'm not going to pay as close attention to the NXT Worlds Collide show. But what do you... Okay, so we saw on Dynamite where Jon Moxley bulldozed CM Punk to unify those titles. And we know that, at least we believe that we know, that the main event is going to be a rematch. What did you think about that whole angle? What did you think about the match? What do you think they're going to do to create hype and interest for this rematch?
You broke up to me. I couldn't hear half of what you said.
Oh, sorry. Just what were your thoughts on what did on for Moxley and Punk, and then what they may possibly do for the making this next match for the main event of All Out?
So I got to tell you, when I first watched it, I was like, what the hell happened here? Like, I didn't think they would go 3 minutes. I really didn't. I also had not asked about it, you know.
Yeah.
They went 3 minutes. I was like, I did not like it at all. Initially, right? When I first saw it, it kind of annoyed me. I felt that they pulled me into this match and then they pulled me out, which I think that was maybe kind of part of what they wanted here to kind of get the interest level up. However, I rewatched the entire show the following day because on Friday morning, I rewatched it because from Wednesday to Friday, because we recorded on Friday, a lot of time passed. So I wanted to be fresh when I did the show. I actually liked it a lot more. Sometimes the initial reaction you have is so impulsive. I stood back and I looked at it, watched it again, and I enjoyed it a lot more. Now the big question is, what do you do to make whatever happens on Sunday something very special, because you don't have, they don't have the opportunity of having an okay match. They don't have that opportunity. They can't just have like a, you know, it was an okay, it was a good main event. You can't, you d- that will not work in this scenario here. I think the expectations are very high. I think the pressure to do something captivating is very high. You also have that MJF thing looming. You also have who could possibly debut looming. There's a lot of what ifs. And when you have those what ifs, the fans will fill in those blanks. And that doesn't necessarily end well for you, even if you have a great show. So you have to do something that works and people want to see. Do I think there's more intrigue in this match? I think there is now. From just talking to people, you know, I'm not gauging it based on, you know, instant Twitter reaction, but I do think there are more people that are interested in the main event, not necessarily the show. I think the interest for the show has been the same, but this is a main event. You're going to see it twice. Do you do something very unique? I think they have to. How do you see it playing out? You know, we got this abridged speed up version where Moxley decimated Punk with a good reason, right? His foot went out. So how do you tell the story now?
That has been my question, because if Moxley bulldozed him during this match, like I think the way that we are supposed to understand how injuries work, his foot should be worse off for this rematch, right?
Yeah.
So, I do think the booking was interesting in that he didn't lose to a submission on the foot. He lost to the finisher, John's finisher. So they can do so many things in submissions with the foot, because he never tapped out for foot injury. But I don't know, man. I think my logic brain is going to have a big problem no matter what when this match happens, because they did the short match. They did the short match.
To the show. Your reaction to the show is surprising to me.
Really?
Yeah, it is. And not I'm not saying like in a bad way, right? Like I'm very surprised, because I gauge a lot of how people see things through how you see it, because you have a very good disposition on pro wrestling. You don't have this volatile reactionary approach when it comes to things that you like and you don't like. But every week that we've spoken about the show, you've kind of slumped a little bit more.
Yeah. I had this problem.
Do you think the backstage stuff did this to you or no?
No. That stuff, you know, probably not that bad, but that stuff just happens. Like, that's just business stuff, right? That's just, now the fact that Punk decided to air it on TV as a receipt, that's intriguing, but that's not really my frustration. My frustration has been with the booking, because so I'll explain this in sort of my where my frustration really started. After Dynamite, or not even after Dynamite, after that match, I was like, okay, they have an hour left, or a little bit less than an hour left. They better update us on what's going on with Punk, because we still don't have a main event. And CM Punk is their world champion who just got steamrolled by the interim champion. That should be a giant story. JR and Excalibur should have been bringing that up every 5 minutes. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going to be the main event? CM Punk, who's, you know, he's been such a boon to this company. And Jon Moxley has been, you know, since Double or Nothing, he was there. He was the surprise, and he's a day one guy. Like, there's a story here. If this was real sports, I use the Steph Curry analogy in Wrestling Observer Radio. If Steph Curry is in the NBA Finals and he turns his ankle and he has to miss the rest of the game, they're probably updating you on Steph Curry every before every commercial or coming out of every commercial, because it's the biggest thing other than the game. They didn't do any of that, so that frustrated me. Yeah. What should have happened? And look, I'm going to give Tony Khan the benefit of the doubt, because he's been doing good work, right? So I'm going into this thinking he's got some excuses or he's got some reasons, and he's still going to deliver something that's good. And he's got he's got Moxley and Punk for feedback and a sounding board, and they'll have ideas. I'm going to guess that this is probably going to be good. But to my sort of sports mentality, to my understanding of logic in pro wrestling, they needed to do some sort of cliffhanger at the end of that show and go, we don't have a ton of information right now, but we're going to have more information on Friday. You will hear from Punk. You will hear from Moxley. You know, we'll see how both guys are, and they need to promote that for Rampage. They showed a 2-minute video of Punk limping to the back, which was great. The way that they shot it was great, but there was no information that came from it. So, well, I am supposed to believe that Tony Khan, who said sports presentation was such an important aspect of his pro wrestling company, I'm supposed to believe that nothing is happening and that they can say nothing about this injury. They can say nothing about what's our main event. So as a fan, as a ticket buying fan, because I bought my ticket, I booked my hotel, I booked my terribly overpriced flight, I was kind of like, I don't know. Like if I didn't, you know, if I lived in that area and I hadn't bought a ticket yet, would this angle or would this make me want to buy a ticket? I'm not sure.
Hey, listen, it's nearly a sellout, though. There's only like a couple hundred seats available. We got your money, brother. Slow it down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some of that is always that approach. Some of that is always that. The other part is, you know, was that rating a good rating for them last week?
I would say it was.
That was a great rating. Should they have done the number they did?
I would say that number was good enough to not be disappointed, but not good enough to think that, you know, there was a lot of buzz for that show.
Yeah. So you kind of want to continue that. And what better way than to not say anything and make everybody want to tune in? I'm giving the other side of this, right? But also you have to, you know, we talk about the ratings a lot, but we are in a really in the dead of summer here, and historically, if you're a marketer, if you're in sales, if you're in television, radio, you know that, you know, this is a rough month, especially for television. People want to be out. It's not, you really don't do your best work in the end of August. However, they have a pay-per-view to go to. WWE has done a somewhat of a turnaround with their television. AEW has been on and off. I've had. In the 3 years that AEW's been around, I've had more shows in the last, I guess, 8 weeks that I have not loved compared to the 3 years that this company's been in existence. So there's a lot of moving parts here. And you can't put all the blame on one person. You can't say it's a booking thing. There's many things happening. However, you got a go-home show tomorrow.
Yep.
Or a big show that you don't want this to be the first pay-per-view that you've declined in pay-per-view buys, because that's only going to add to the negative optic that's existing right now for this company. So do I think they'll blow past last year? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
However, you could still put on a mega, mega home run of a pay-per-view and to kind of eliminate some of the negativity you faced since, you know, May 28th.
Yeah. No, 100%. You know, the other thing, and I don't think you can have so many of your big matches not like the fans not know what they are, because the Trios tournament, we can guess what we think the finals is going to be, right? But that is also a match that is not yet finally booked because of the way that tournaments work. So one of the big draws for this show is Kenny Omega and the Bucks on the same team, and whether or not Hangman's going to get involved. And one of the other ones is Moxley and Punk. And in both of those matches, we are not 100% sure what is going to happen yet on that pay-per-view. And we're a week out, so less than a week out. So that, I think that is a little bit of a problem. Now, you know, some of this is probably a little bit of a change of booking for AEW, especially when it comes to this Moxley and Punk thing. But still, man, I just think, you know, they had so much time between Forbidden Door and now, and they just don't have everything set up. So I am of the mentality, I'm of the mindset that the show's going to be good, and I will be there. And if anybody wants, like I mentioned, you know, we have that extra ticket in our right next to the people who I'm with. So I fully expect it's going to be a good wrestling show, but I'm just a little disappointed because I'm not feeling the same way about going to this show as I did last year. And last year, you know, you were there, it was probably the greatest live wrestling show that I've ever been to.
I say this, I've said this multiple times, and I, like, some people like, oh, it was the best show you were ever at. Yeah, and I've been to some great freaking shows. I was at WrestleMania 20, I was at WrestleMania 10. I've been to a shit ton of ECW shows that I thought were fantastic. I've been to Ring of Honor shows that I think I've, you know, I live in a major market. I live 20 minutes from the Garden. I'm, you know, I've seen a ton of great wrestling. That show was the best wrestling show I've ever attended. Best wrestling show I've seen, as far as in live attendance. I can't, I don't know. It depends on the mood, right? Sometimes I'll tell you that another show was great. But the thing that brought me the most show, my wife came to the show, and my wife is not a wrestling fan. And this was her first arena show. She'd been to like a bunch of stuff in Laboon for Evolve. We used to go there all the time and just get like trashed at the bar, you know. just an awesome place, man. It's 6-pack of Modelo and you just go to your seat and I'm just pounding them.
Nice.
For her, just she was looking at me. She goes, now I get it. I get why you love wrestling. Like she saw... And I've always said, like, once that door opens for you, you now see it.
Yeah.
For me, it came at a younger age. You know, I saw it at a much younger age. For her, it came now. And, you know, when I have AEW on, she's not telling me to turn it off, you know, and that's a positive. She's not like, oh, is there anything else we could watch? I think also the timing for that show meant a lot, right? It was the first time that a lot of people went out of their homes for, you know, a year or two. It's the first time we got to see each other in person like that. It felt like a little bit of a party, and it just added more to the show. It also was a fantastic show with debuts and surprises and things like that. It's not going to be the same show this time. It's not going to be the same show, but they're going to, my opinion, they'll hit a home run for sure. I don't know if it's going to be 500 feet out of the park, but it'll still be a home run.
Is it going to be a Pete Alonso home run?
Listen, it could be a Pete Alonso home run. It could be a Diaz pitch. It could be a Jason DeGrom, you know, 100 pitch night. By the way, the Dodgers are playing the Mets tonight. I think I may break my record of most home games in a single year for me this year.
There you go.
The playoffs may bring me over 30 games.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I may be over 30 games, and I will be at every one of those home playoff games. I'll be at the World Series. I'll be at all of them. And I have a bet with my buddy Bob that if the Mets win the World Series, we're going to get Mr. Met tattoos.
Oh, yes.
But in a very naughty place.
Oh, no.
Right on our butts. My wife is not very happy about this.
No, it's great. It's great for Mets fans because you guys are a really good baseball team. Okay, so just quickly, we have a little bit of time left here, but I was interested in, and you know, I'm going to be following the chat as well to see what other people are thinking. But what, you know, give me two more matches on this card other than what we presume to be the main event that you are really, really fired up to check out this weekend.
Oh, Jericho and Danielson, I want to see. I'm really into that. I do want to see the trios match. I'm interested in that. I'm interested in a Danielson match. I mean, obviously the main event, essentially pretty much the entire card I'm into. The only one that I'm really not hot on is the Jungle Boy and Christian match.
Interesting.
It did nothing for me. I couldn't see Christian as trying to, you know, commit homicide. I can't see. I'm sorry. Jungle Boy is committing homicide. It didn't do it for me. I couldn't see. It was really
not in his personality. Yeah.
No, he's a sweet boy. I don't want him killing people. I really don't. And I say that as a joke. I'm not being condescending here. Someone's going to mention, Andrew said you're a sweet boy. I didn't like how they did the Luchasaurus stuff in the beginning. It was just weird. Weird stuff.
Yeah. So I will say, I'm with you, Bryan Danielson and Chris Jericho. The other one for me is Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. And I hope, like, I don't actually want this to be a long match. It doesn't need to be 15 to 18 minutes for me. Cause I think those guys don't usually wrestle those singles matches that long. And I want them to be more a little bit like a hard hitting fiery sprint. So I'm really interested in that match. But you know what match I'm not interested in at all? Like zero is Wardlow and FTR against Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. That would be that would be really mean if I called them the Motor Shitty Machine Guns. It came out of nowhere. I want to see Wardlow on his own. I want to see FTR in a big match. This feels like a match to get those guys on, and you don't want to do anything with them. So, So actually, you know what? I think Andrew's got to get going here. So, why don't we just close down shop here? Because you got to go, right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll let Andrew go. Sorry. We'll just go to me on the full shot, and I'll send the show home. Okay. Thanks to Andrew.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys. I just got to run out of here.
Thanks to our buddy Earl, aka Knowledge, for doing this. And look, you know, I think this is going to be a real treat of a weekend for wrestling fans. WWE fans, I think they're going to get a good show with Clash of the Castle. I think they're probably going to even get more intrigue than normal from non-WWE wrestling fans just because of, I mean, if we look at that Raw rating, the intrigue seems to be there. And I think, you know, I'm going to be out in Chicago, and I think we're going to be doing Dave and Brian's Q&A. And then right after the Q&A is over, I think we're going to race to somebody's hotel room and try and catch up to the rest of that show. And then, you know, Sunday, even if I'm not as fired up as last year, I still think the show's going to be a positive. I think one thing that they're going to have to do, I think, just because of what they did last year, is there's got to be a surprise, and it's got to be a good one. So I don't know if that's MJF or it's something that we don't see coming. I think that has to be there as well. But ultimately, I just think it's going to be a great wrestling weekend for folks. So have fun watching wrestling this weekend. And of course, Dynamite should be pretty crazy. Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay in the same ring. I think they've only wrestled each other one time prior. So this is a nice little treat. But anyways, for Andrew, for Earl, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.